1 Corinthians chapter 11. And describe to you the Lord's Supper, give you a little bit about it, and what it is, why we remember the body of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, and we'll start in verse 17. Before I read, there's several verses we're going to look at here. If you notice, before we start in verse 17, look in verse 23. It says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." All right, we'll pray and talk to you a little bit about the Lord's Supper, then we'll participate in it. And this is a memorial. It is a remembrance of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And I'll talk to you more about it in a minute, but this, what we're going to do today, if you're not saved, meaning you've never trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you never put your faith in Jesus Christ, this isn't going to help you in any way. In fact, you don't really have any part in this if you haven't done that. On the other hand, if you have, this is a memorial and a way to remember the body and blood of Jesus Christ. This is not a mass. This is not a Eucharist. This is not a way of participating or becoming more saved or anything like that. But it's a memorial, and it's a good time to examine our own selves in light of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. But let's pray, and then we'll talk more about this. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, please minimize distractions. Please help us. Father, I pray that you would help us examine ourselves as we remember the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you so much for the body and blood of Jesus Christ. I thank you so much for justification and by his blood. Thank you for the opportunity to participate in eternal life, and Lord, the ability and the opportunity to come before your throne by the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray this morning, know a couple of folks having surgery this week, lift up Ben to you, pray that you'd get him through that surgery and get him healed up quickly and just to feeling better, and pray to give the doctors wisdom and all that. And then Fellers, he's getting ready to have surgery this week as well, pray that you'd give the doctors wisdom and get him through that, and Lord, that you would help these guys and in their recovery process. Father, thank you again for this opportunity together, and thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. I pray if anybody here is not saved, that they'd understand their need for Jesus Christ, understand the importance of the body and blood of Jesus Christ and the part of their forgiveness. And Lord, I pray for those that are saved that we would appreciate the body and blood of Jesus Christ and what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, there's two things really that the Lord has folks doing after the death, burial, and resurrection that deal with the body of Christ, and each is a public reminder and a way for believers who have trusted in Jesus Christ to remember and to think about what Jesus Christ did in his own body. The first thing is, after you trust Jesus Christ, one of the things the folks did was they got baptized, and that was not to make person saved. That was not to really, it was just a public profession of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as it pertained to that soul now. The second thing is what we're going to do today, and that's the Lord's Supper. And it's a memorial of a remembrance of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And I keep saying the body and blood because that is when God prepared a body for Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost came upon Mary and all that stuff, and a body was prepared for Jesus Christ. That body is the body that God would accept in place of your body and your blood. Because you and I are unacceptable to God. It's interesting. You think about people that say, you know, or they try to, they have these accusations against Christianity and say things like, well, is Jesus the only way to heaven? Well, you think Jesus is the only way to heaven. Well, do you have another way? There's not another way. There's no other way. God hasn't accepted any other way. You'd just be a shot in the dark for you to try to figure out how to get there. You don't know how to get there. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. The only way, when they say go to heaven, that's the only way for mankind to stand before a holy God and come before the throne room of God Almighty. Jesus Christ is that way. The way he prepared that way is through his living a holy life and then his death, burial, and resurrection. And then he is now satisfied. He is the acceptable flesh and blood to God Almighty. So God can say, I will accept you. I will accept Brian Boatman on the basis of my acceptance of Jesus Christ. I'm willing to accept you if you're in Jesus Christ. That's the basis of acceptance. Now, I'll say this. We'll talk about this tonight a little bit. And I encourage you to come back because there is maybe some things in what Jesus Christ's ministry is that have been confusing as far as the future is concerned. The body of Jesus Christ is one day coming back to this earth. Jesus Christ's ministry, and I'll just put this out there, Jesus Christ's ministry is not over yet. Part of his ministry is going to be in the future when he comes back to rule and reign this earth for 1,000 years and to bring into subjection all of the earth. The Bible says, He will subdue all things under his feet, 1 Corinthians 15, and death will be the last thing that he subdues. And at the very last thing, one of the last things you read about in Revelation is death and hell give up the dead, and they're judged before the white throne, and that is Jesus Christ after he's reigned 1,000 years. He has subdued all things to God the Father. He has brought all things under his feet, and now he has offered, or he has brought all things in subjection, even death, and he takes up death, casts it into the lake of fire, and that is the last enemy, the Bible says, that he subdues. And once that's done, you have the new heavens, new earth, all that stuff. We'll talk about that more tonight, and I think it'll help you make sense of an inheritance. What in the world is Jesus Christ doing? Because I think typically we think of that we get to the millennial reign, you get to the millennial reign, and that's the end, that's it. Thank goodness we got there. But that's still part of his ministry. He's subduing all things. When he comes back, he will subdue all nations to himself. We'll talk about that more tonight. But this part of this is him subduing the flesh and the body and the blood, him subduing the things that you and I wrestle with every day, and God bringing that in subjection in Jesus Christ and him crucifying that flesh and dying and then laying in a grave and then coming back and beating death for you and me. So this is a memorial of that. And if you've trusted Jesus Christ, you get to participate in that eternal life, that justification, that righteousness that God will impart to anyone who will put their faith in Jesus Christ. And so let's just read these verses, and we'll deal with this memorial service this morning. In verse 17 it says, Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. And now, after describing the selfishness of the Corinthians, he's going to now describe the selflessness of Jesus Christ. He says, "All you guys all show up, and you're showing up for yourselves. What am I going to get out of this? If he doesn't bless me, then I'm not getting nothing out of this. And how am I going to benefit? How can I get something?" And kids, and I mean, how do I get something from this? And I know you're supposed to be fed, but there's such a selfishness Paul's addressing. And after he addresses the selfishness of the Corinthians, he says, now you remember Jesus Christ, who was not selfish in any way. In fact, he gave of his own body, and he sat down with those disciples that night on Passover night. And he broke the bread, and he said, this is my body. And he gave the cup, and he said, this is my blood. And he was completely selfless to the point of giving of his own flesh and blood for other people. In contrast to people who are just takers and give, give me. That is nothing like what Jesus Christ did. And so that's what Paul's showing the contrast. Here's the contrast. So verse 23, he's described divisions, he's described selfishness, he's described how people desecrate the memorial. I mean, you think about cemeteries and headstones and memorials and grave sites, and a couple years ago, and it happens periodically, you'll have things in the paper about people knocking over headstones and kids writing graffiti or something like that. They just desecrate the memorial. They don't care anything about it. It doesn't mean anything to them, so they just desecrate it. Paul's saying, that's what you guys are doing when you come to church. You're getting together, and you have all these motives that are selfish motives, and you're just destroying what Jesus Christ did for you. Through your own selfishness, your own greed, your own covetousness, you're not getting what you want, it's not happening the way you think it should happen, and you're withholding, and all these things are complete opposite and contrary to what Jesus Christ is trying to do. So it's a desecration of the memorial. So then he gives some direction. Verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. So I'm not giving you something. Paul's not giving something that is completely different than what Jesus Christ said, or he's not giving some new, brand new thing that nobody knows about. He said, I received this from Jesus Christ, and now I'm going to give it to you. This is what I received, now I'm going to pass it on to you. For I have received, verse 23 of the Lord, that which also I delivered unto you. But the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. That's important because you're not doing this to be saved. You're not doing this to get a little more out of purgatory or get a little bit on the good side of God, this is something you do in remembrance of Jesus Christ because of this. The body and blood of Jesus Christ is precious to God. And if you want to honor that, then you remember the body and blood of Jesus Christ. As you think about what we do here, I pray about it, think about it. I want God to be able to be honored by it. I want Him to be blessed by what's going on here. I want to be a blessing to God. I want God to look down and be happy with what we're doing. So the way God can be happy with what we're doing is we be happy with the things that He's happy with. He's happy with the body and blood of Jesus Christ. He is satisfied. He accepts the body and blood of Jesus Christ. He put all of His blessings into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And so our way of participating and honoring God with this is to remember the body and blood of Jesus Christ. That's important to God, so it ought to be important to us. So Paul, he gives some direction. He says, this do in remembrance of me. You're doing it in remembrance of Jesus Christ. You're not doing it to be saved. You're not doing it to say the Mass or whatever other various things are said about this. This isn't turning into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. This is a remembrance. It's a memorial. And so he says in verse 25, after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. So it's a remembrance. Again, if you want God to be blessed by the things that you're doing here, then we ought to make important the things that are important to Him. Verse 26, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. So there's no particular time frame to do it. He just says as oft as you do it. We're trying to do it every quarter just so we can have a schedule on it. But there's no particular time. Some folks do it every week. Some folks do it every month. Some folks do it once a year. I mean, just as oft as you do it. The point is you do it in remembrance of me. That's the point of this. You're doing it in remembrance of me, and you show the Lord's death till He come. When Jesus Christ comes back, I've just kind of mentioned it before, the ministry of Jesus Christ is complete in the fact, in this part, forgiveness of sins can now be offered in Jesus Christ, but His ministry of subduing all things is not complete yet. Until Jesus Christ comes back, we participate in a memorial service, a remembering of the body and blood of Jesus Christ, until that body that went up comes back down. And when that body comes back down, it will be on a throne in Jerusalem, and it will subdue, and He will subdue all nations unto Himself, unto God the Father. He will put all things under His feet. And subdue all things. And like he says in 1 Corinthians 15, death will be the last enemy. And once he empties out death, he will take that cavity or whatever it is inside the earth and he will offer it up and throw it into the burning lake of fire. And that'll be the last thing to be destroyed. This, on the other hand, what we're doing, we do it until he come. We show the Lord's death till he come. So what's our part in this? Verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened to the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So he gives the duty here of the participants. The duty is to examine yourself. first to examine yourself to see if you're even in the body of Christ. Because remembering the body of Christ doesn't have any meaning if you're not in the body of Christ. If you haven't trusted Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, then you're still trusting in yourself, and so the sacrifice of Jesus Christ doesn't really mean that much. Here's the typical way this goes. You ask somebody about, I was talking to somebody the other day, I went through the gospel with them, and at the end, I mean, we covered it pretty thoroughly, dealt with sin. He was, yeah, I'm a sinner. I know I've done bad things. I know all that. And we covered all that and then got to the point where I said, all right, so after reading Revelations and talk about all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, all that kind of stuff. So I asked him, I said, all right, so if you were to die right now, where would you go? After, based on what you've read, what you've seen. He said, oh, I think I'd go to heaven. So then I asked him, I said, so have you understand Jesus Christ died for your sins? Oh, yeah, I understand that. Okay, so my question then is, why did he die for your sins if you just be a good person? Why is he dying? Meaning, you don't have any part in the body of and blood of Jesus Christ because you're not trusting in body and blood of Jesus Christ. You still believe you have some part in this. You still believe God will be accepting of you as a person. He's not. This is why Jesus Christ died. He subdued the flesh, and he put down the thing that came between you and God. And he subdued it on a cross. He lived in this flesh without sin, and then offered to God the acceptable sacrifice, one man for all of mankind. Now God has a basis for forgiving sins, for justifying sinners, and that basis is Jesus Christ. So the first thing you do before you partake of this, if you're going to today, whenever we pass out the bread and the grape juice, you're not obligated to take this. And in fact, I encourage you, if you don't know if you're saved or not, don't do it. First, get saved. Then you'll have remembering the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Second thing is, if you're saved, one of the things to do to examine yourselves is examine your own life in light of the body of Christ now. I know I've used this illustration, but if I was to say, if I wish I had a bag here, I just had a bag, I could show you this. If I were to have a trash bag, and it didn't appear to have anything, you know, just you pull out a trash bag from the box and you're holding it up, and I told you, you know, in this bag I have a watermelon, and you know there's nothing in that bag. Because it doesn't appear that there's anything resembling a watermelon in this trash bag. That's how some people's Christianity is. Oh yeah, I'm saved, but you look and it's like, no, there's no watermelon in that thing. There's nothing that even resembles a watermelon. I use watermelon, you understand the analogy. There's nothing that even resembles Jesus Christ. Oh, well, I'm saved because I go to this church. There are millions of people in church this morning who are lost. There are millions of people attending religious services who don't know and don't care what Jesus Christ did for them. Please don't be like that. If you examine your own life in light of the Bible, don't self-examine necessarily, but take the Bible and then put that over your life. Because this is what we do when we self-examine. We'll say, well, I mean, I'm pretty good, or I've got a reason for not obeying here, or I've got a reason for that. The way you examine your life is you take the Bible and you put it over your life. And wherever your life doesn't match the Bible, that part of your life needs to be cut out or changed or corrected, not justified, which is what we normally do. Take the Bible and we find some things that we're not really doing right or not doing or should be doing or shouldn't be doing, and we say, well, yeah, but, and we got our reason for not doing it. That's not examining your life. Your life should be examined when you take the Bible and you overlay it to your life. And everywhere you find your decisions, your affections, your understanding, your behavior, where it's contrary with this Bible, that's the examination. Those areas need to be addressed in light of the scriptures here, particularly in light of the body of Jesus Christ. So he says, examine yourselves, number one, to see if you're even in the body of Christ. Number two, if you're in the body of Christ, how's it matching up? So we'll have a little time for that. We'll just have a little time to deal with those things in a minute. So you got the duty there, verses 27 through 30. The Bible says this, says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Of Jesus Christ it says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So here's the last thing about this. Here's the motives for the memorial, verse 31. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. All right, so if you get the thing cleaned up, if you get the thing addressed the way God wants it to be addressed, there's no need for judgment. But when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. There's a thought. Contrasted to the very first part of this, where they're coming together, everybody's selfish, everybody's not getting what they want, they're stepping on each other. It's the greed, the covetousness, the lust is driving the whole church congregation, as opposed to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ driving what's going on. It says in verse 33, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. So he says in verse 34, if your appetite's going to change your motive, deal with that at home so your motive's not affected for being in church. Deal with what you need to deal with so that when you get together, you know what church is? This is just something to think about. Church is supposed to be an opportunity for Christians to have rest from the world. It's supposed to be an opportunity for you to take a break from all the bombardment that you're going to face during the week and get fed a little bit, get encouraged, and get nourished and built up in the body of Christ and have rest from the world. You know what's frustrating? Is when the world keeps showing up in the church. And it's like every haven of rest you try to create or God tries to create is occupied by the devil at every turn. Church is supposed to be a time, it's an opportunity to have some rest. An opportunity to not be bombarded by the world, to not be overcome by all the stuff going on outside, to be separate from all that, and to be encouraged in the Lord, and to be nourished in those things. The self-examination, the unexamined life of a Christian brings the chastening hand of the Lord. Self-examination happens when you take the words of God and overlay them with your life and allow your life to be overlaid by the words of God. Let Him direct you. What does the Bible say? It says, lean not unto thine own understanding, which is what we always do. Trust in the Lord, lean not unto thine own understanding. That's what the Lord says something, you say, yeah, but Lord, you don't understand. No, he understands. Quit leaning on your own understanding. He knows. He's not surprised by your situation. He's not shocked by what's happening. Trust in the Lord. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Yeah, but you don't know how I feel about it. You don't understand. You know, this is a different thing than this person is different. This is this job is different. This is a different situation. No. Trust in the Lord. Lean not unto thine own understanding. That's the examined life. So what we're about to do here is we participate in remembering the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Have a little time of opportunity to pray, to allow the Lord to identify things. And I'd say this, if you would, let's do this. As Sam plays a little bit, we'll have a little time. And if you would, bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'll ask you a couple questions here. Number one, go ahead, Sam. As Sam plays, number one, have you ever come to a point in your life where you understand you're a sinner who is, if you were to die, you would go to hell because you have not trusted Jesus Christ? And if you've come to that point in your life, you understand that. Maybe you don't know what to do about it. Here's what you do. You trust Jesus Christ because his body and blood is the acceptable flesh and blood to God Almighty. You put your trust in Jesus Christ. Let him justify you, justified freely by his blood. If you're here and you're saved, you've trusted Jesus Christ. Allow the Holy Spirit of God to examine things that you know. Let's just start with the stuff that you know is wrong. We don't have to dig deep. We don't have to go through the whole Bible to dig things out. There's stuff in your life that you know comes between you and the Lord.